by telling you guys a story about one of the best sermons, or one of the most memorable sermons that I've ever heard. It comes from one of my friends. His name is Valerian. I met him in seminary. He's originally from Africa. And one summer, we both went on a missions trip together to Myanmar. And there we were just helping to teach and train students at a Bible college. So one Sunday morning, he gets up there to give the message, and he's talking about Joseph from the book of Genesis. And my friend, he's kind of like a bigger guy, so he's kind of muscular, has a shaved head, so can be kind of intimidating looking, but really, really kind guy. So he's going through his message, and he gets to the point where Joseph is at Potiphar's house. And if you know the story, you know that Potiphar's wife kind of finds Joseph attractive, and so she's trying to seduce him. And what Joseph ends up doing is he ends up running out of the house. But as Valerian was preaching, all of a sudden he was like, "I want you guys to imagine this with me. Imagine Joseph in this situation." And as he's running, he's letting out a high-pitched scream. And my friend Valerian just all of a sudden actually screams like, "Ah!" as he's running down the aisle. And I was like, "What? Like, what is happening?" Like, I never expected that from him. But that was one thing that really stood out in that sermon. That's not the main thing. I just wanted to share that with you because I think it was kind of really fun for me. But the main point of his sermon was actually that in Joseph's life, there's a lot of times when Joseph finds himself in a pit, right? He gets thrown in the pit right before he gets sold into slavery. He gets thrown into a dungeon after this whole Potiphar incident. So there's a lot of times when Joseph is just down in a pit. And he was saying that, in the moments when we're in a pit, we look around us and all we see is like a dirt wall, right? You look to your left, it's dirt. You look to your right, it's dirt. You look below you, it's dirt. So what do you do when you're in a pit? Like, where do you look? And the answer to that is you gotta look up, right? You gotta look up and see the hope that is offered in that direction. And so the truth is that everyone at some point in their life will find themselves in these pit moments, right? You'll find that things in your life have kind of just come crashing down. Things are at their worst. You look around and all you see is just dirt, right? All you see is this mess. So what do you do? What do? Well, you have to look up. As we approach the second chapter of the book of Jonah today, we're going to see how Jonah finds himself in this pit, in this rock bottom situation. So if you remember from last week, we were talking about how God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, but Jonah instead decides he's going to run away. And if you look closely at chapter one, we didn't really look at it last week, but as Jonah runs, the direction that he's heading is actually down. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Jonah chapter one, and I'll just point out a few of the verses. So in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Jonah ran away from the Lord. He headed for Tarshish, and he went down to Joppa." Then in verse 5, after Jonah gets on the boat, he goes down below deck where he falls asleep. Verse 15, he's thrown down into the sea. And the whole point of the Bible describing Jonah's journey this way is that when you run away from God, really the only direction you go is down. And so after Jonah keeps going down, 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 we eventually get to verse 17 where we're going to pick up today. He's going to get swallowed by a fish. This is probably the most well-known part of the book, but we'll start reading from Jonah chapter 1. Verse 17 this morning. Starting from verse 17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. This is the word of the Lord. All right, so the book of Jonah is named after the prophet, but as I mentioned last week, God is also present in all of the events, right? God was the one who sent the storm at sea, and today we see that God is the one who provides this huge fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah, at this point, he really can't go any lower, right? He's inside a giant fish, and he's hit rock bottom. We read that Jonah is in this fish for 3 days and three nights. That's a good amount of time, right? That's a long weekend amount of time. We don't really know what Jonah is doing during all of that time, but we do get some insight from this prayer. This prayer is actually a really significant part of Jonah's story, because it's in this prayer that we see Jonah's heart sort of changing. It doesn't change completely, but it does start to change, so that when we get to chapter 3, when God calls Jonah in the same way that he called him earlier, when God says, "Go to Nineveh," Jonah actually goes. It's because of what happens to him while he's in the fish. So what happens to Jonah are two things. The first thing that happens to him is that Jonah realizes the situation that he's in. He recognizes just how bad things are for him. So look with me to a few verses. Starting in verse 2, right, Jonah says, "From the depths of the grave, I called for help." Verse 3, it says, "You hurled me into the deep, the very heart of the seas. The waves swept over me." Right, verse 5, "The engulfing waters, they threatened me. The deep surrounded me." Right, "Seaweed was wrapped around my head." Jonah's turned into some sort of giant sushi, right? He's got seaweed around him. You've got verse 6, right? "To the roots of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in." Right? You read these descriptions, and what you see, what you hear, is this man that's saying, "I'm drowning. You know, I am completely overwhelmed." And that's the first thing that we also need to recognize, is that there are going to be times in our life when we are drowning, when we feel like we are just completely overwhelmed. You know, everyone has gone through this. before God comes and rescues us, we drown. We were drowning. We were either drowning in the expectations that were placed upon us by society, by our teachers, by our parents, by our bosses, right? These pressures that we have to be the very best. We have to go to the best school. We have to get the best job, right? You have to work as hard as you can so you can get to the top. Failure is not an option, right? There's a lot of pressure that comes upon us. Or perhaps you were tangled up in some unhealthy relationships. Perhaps there were some toxic relationships in your life that you felt like were just dragging you down, right? The friends that you have maybe just criticize you and make sarcastic comments all day without any type of encouragement, and you just feel like it's so much work to be friends with this person. Or perhaps you're like Jonah, right? You've made a mistake and now you feel this guilt and this shame, and you're drowning under that. Right? Most people have gone through this type of experience. And that's why the gospel message is so important. It's even important for the messenger, right? For the person, for the believer that knows these things about God, but will experience these moments of drowning. What do we do? How do we respond? The first thing, again, is that we have to recognize that we have these types of moments, right? We can't say, oh, just because I've believed in God, just because I've been following God for so many years, I won't ever have these types of situations, right? Or you might think that just because you believe in God, your life has to be hopeful and joyful all the time. Things will be perfect just because you believe in God. That's not true. Jonah has faith in God, but yet he finds himself, because of his disobedience, in a really desperate situation. So the first thing is recognize when you're in one of these situations, right? Recognize that you're in a pit. Then you can respond in the way that Jonah does. And what Jonah does while he's in this pit is he looks up. Right? Again, follow with me the same verses that we'll look at. Verse 2, Jonah says, "From the depths I called for help, and you listened to my cry." Right? Verse 4 says, "I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple." Verse 6 says, "You brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God." Verse 7, "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you." It rose to your holy temple. Right? Jonah looks up, and he's not just simply looking up so that he can blame God. Right? Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we are going through a really difficult challenge, we're going through a trial, and we look up and we blame God and we say, "God, you did this to me." Right? It's like, why didn't you stop this from happening? Right? Jonah doesn't blame God. Jonah instead looks up to God and realizes that God is his source of hope. God is the only one that can save him. Right? I mean, look at how Jonah starts his prayer. Jonah starts his prayer by saying, "God, you've heard me. You've answered me." Right? Jonah is confident that God has already listened to him. He knows that even when he's been disobedient, when he's been unfaithful, God has remained faithful. God has not abandoned him. So Jonah, even while he's inside the belly of a giant fish, he recognizes that God is there and he looks up to him. So how did Jonah realize this? How did Jonah get to this point? Well, picture it with me, right? The storm was raging on the sea. Jonah tells the sailors they gotta throw him overboard. Like, what did Jonah expect when that happened? Jonah expected to die, right? So Jonah gets thrown overboard. He's probably trying to doggy paddle for his life, but he gets tired. His arms and his legs get tired, and so he gives up. And so he starts sinking. He starts sinking into the water, and he's thinking, you know, this is the end. This is how I go. When all of a sudden, he gets swallowed by a fish. You know, maybe he doesn't realize it at first, but maybe after a few minutes pass, he's like, huh, I'm not dead. And I don't feel water all around me anymore. Maybe he realizes he gets swallowed by a fish, and then he's like, oh no, this is how I'm gonna die. You know, I'm gonna be digested by this giant sea creature. But then an hour passes, and he's like, I'm still alive. Another hour passes, and as the hours go by, he starts to realize, you know, I'm alive. The fish actually saved him. You see, the fish is not just some fantastical element that's put into this story to grab the attention of little children as you're telling them the story. It's not just a cute moment of Jonah being swallowed by a fish. But the fish is in this story because it is the means that God uses to save Jonah. It's God's way of telling Jonah, Jonah, I am your salvation. Right? The fish is God's salvation for Jonah. And as Jonah realizes this, then he can start his prayer off with saying, God, I know that you've heard me. I know that you've answered my prayers. Right? How many of you have had an answered prayer? Right? I've had answered prayers. But now, how many of you, and I include myself in this, the next time you pray, you're confident that God hears you? Right? Or do you think that God only listened to you that one time when you were praying for that one thing? Right? Do you have the kind of faith that Jonah has where when he experiences this salvation from God that he's like, wow, when I pray to God now, I'm confident that he's already heard me. Right? Or do we think that, you know, when we pray that maybe God doesn't hear us? Right? You know, this should transform the way that we pray. Once we've experienced salvation, once we've experienced God's grace and his love, we can pray confidently, knowing that he hears. And then Jonah, not only does he start his prayer in such a powerful way, but he also ends it really powerfully as well. So look with me to verses 8 and 9. Well, Jonah has had quite a lot of time to think and to reflect. And so this is how he concludes his prayer. He says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. It's possible that Jonah is thinking back on what happened with the sailors, right? If you remember, the sailors were people that believed in many gods. They were polytheistic people. But they were people that came to know Jonah's God. They were people that came to know the real God. And they ended up being saved because they listened to him. They listened to his messenger. Right? Imagine if the sailors had decided, you know, this prophet is crazy, you know, he's running away from his God. Let's not listen to him. Let's just continue trying to row back to land, right? We'll count on our gods to get us back to land. If the sailors had done that, they would have died, right? The storm would not have calmed down, and they all, in likelihood, would have died. But because they listened to this prophet, because they listened to Jonah, they were saved. They experienced God's grace. But Jonah could also be thinking about the Ninevites, right? He could be thinking, ah, those Ninevites. You know, I will probably go and preach to them, but maybe Jonah is secretly hoping that the Ninevites cling to their worthless idols, right? Perhaps Jonah is really hoping that they do not believe and that they end up forfeiting God's grace and God's love. Because if you look at verse 9, even though Jonah has kind of had a change of heart, he's kind of coming around to seeing God as the one who saves, as the one who is gracious. Jonah is still kind of selfish, right? Because he's talking about those who cling to worthless idols, but then he's like, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed, I will make good. Salvation, I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Right? Verse 9, it sounds like Jonah is praising God and he's saying a really good thing, which he is. But at the same time, it's kind of about him. It's like, okay, I know that God has saved me, you know, because I'm an Israelite. I'm a Hebrew. Salvation comes from God, and while that's true, there's a little bit of Jonah that's thinking it's just for me. It's just for people like me. It's just for the people that I like. It's not for those people like the Ninevites, those brutal, evil people. This is a reminder for us, right, that the gospel message is not just for us. It's not just for the people that we like. But the gospel message, God wants that message to reach the whole world. And the reason why Jonah is going to be able to go and share the message is because of what happens to him. It's because he gets swallowed by a fish. It's because he experiences God's grace and his salvation that he's able to even go to Nineveh later on. And it's the same way with us. If we don't experience God's grace and his love, it's going to be really hard to share the gospel, right? It's going to be hard to share this good news until we've realized just how badly we needed it, right? Until we hit our rock bottom, until we see that we were being crushed by the effects of sin, that we were being completely drowned in the pressures of this world, and God has set us free from that. It's not until we realize that, then we can bring this message, this gospel, to others that are in the same situation. Right, people that are drowning, people that are being crushed. This is a message for everyone. You know, one of the parts of Jonah's prayer that actually struck me the most is in verse 5. It's when he says that seaweed was wrapped around his head, right? Apart from me picturing Jonah as, you know, a giant piece of sushi, it reminded me of just how bad things were for Jonah. And it reminded me of a parable that Jesus actually tells. It's a parable about a young man who also runs away. This young man also hits rock bottom. And he ends up having to eat the same food as the very pigs that he's feeding. Right. It's the parable of the prodigal son. And if you know that parable, you'll know that the son recognizes just how bad things get for him. Right? He realizes just how bad things are. And so he decides, I'm gonna go home. Right? I'm gonna go to my father. I'm gonna beg for forgiveness. And you know, after you've made a mistake like that, even as you're walking home, you probably has his head down. He's probably staring at his feet, wondering, what's gonna happen? How will my father react? But you know what happens the moment he looks up as he gets close to home? Right, when he looks up towards his home, he doesn't see like an empty house with no one waiting for him. When he looks up, he sees the father running to him. In the same way, when we have hit rock bottom in our lives, when we are in this pit, when we've got our heads down, trying to avoid everything that is happening around us, when we look up, what we'll see is God running towards us. That's the gospel message, is that you are not in that pit alone. You will not be in that pit forever, but God is coming for you and God will pull you out. That's the gospel message, that God has this unconditional love for people that don't deserve it. The reality is, you and I, we don't deserve the grace that has been given to us by God. And yet, He has given it to us. He has poured it out upon us over and over again. Right? We didn't do anything to earn it. He just simply freely gives. Right? If the pandemic has done something, it's revealed to us a lot of the hearts of people, right? I mean, it seems like a long time now, but when the pandemic first started, you remember how people reacted? They were very much like Jonah, looking out for themselves, doing the things that were gonna benefit them, what they wanted. So they would go out and they would hoard things. They would, even now actually, even now, people are doing what they want to do. They're protesting. They're like, open things up faster. They're disobeying authority. Right? These are people that need to experience the grace and the love of God. Because when they experience it, then they can show it to others. Then they can show it to their neighbors who they're putting at risk by going out and doing these things. They can show this grace to their government leaders, that even if their government leaders make bad decisions, it's forgivable. But these are people that need to experience God's grace. We've experienced it. We've experienced His grace. So this ought to have changed and transformed our lives. We'll look at how it's change Jonah's life in a couple weeks when Jonah goes to Nineveh to preach. But for now, I want you to take these next few moments. Just think about how God has poured His grace into your life, right? How He's rescued you from your deepest and darkest moments. Let's take a few moments and pray.